بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. The chapter we are reading from in Hayat al-Sahaba, very very interestingly, Hazrat Mausa Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, the main chapter is what is called Akhlaqun Nabi Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam wa Ashabuhu, the chapter which deals with the akhlaq and character of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam and his companions. And as I mentioned, very interestingly, as the Mausa Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, under that chapter, as a subheading, has brought an entire section which deals with nikah and marriage. In this is indication that there's a very, very strong link between akhlaq and one's marital conduct. In fact, ulama say that to hoodwink or to pull wool over the eyes of the whole world is very easy, to deceive everyone. So far as your character and your integrity and your conduct is concerned. But there are two tabakas, two groups of people that is very, very difficult to deceive. Or if you want to put it in simple terms, the acid test or the crunch test of your integrity, akhlaq, character, will depend on the testimonial of these two tabakas. One is, they say, your wife. And the other is your subordinates or those who work for you, your servants. And that is why in that hadith, very famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Akmalul mu'minina imanan ahsanuhum khuluqa. He said, the most kamil, the most perfect, pinnacle, height, is akmal. In other words, kamali iman. There's nothing higher than this. He said the highest pinnacle, the heights of iman, is ahsanuhum khuluqa, is the person with the best akhlaq and character. In that same hadith, because the acid test for akhlaq and character is your home and your conduct, like I said, you can deceive the whole outside world. To deceive your family is very difficult. So he said, khiyarukum khiyarukum linisai. Another hadith, خيركم ألطفهم بأهله أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Said the best amongst you, the best amongst you, so far as reaching the pinnacle and the height of akhlaq and character, is the one who is best in the treatment of his wife. How important akhlaq is, how important character is. One person asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, said, Man ahabbu an-nasi ilallah. Man ahabbu an-nasi ilallah. Ya Rasulullah, who is the most beloved person? Who does Allah love the most? What's the criteria? Allah doesn't have rishta or relationship with anyone. Allah is not related to anyone. Our relationship with Allah depends on sifat, on attributes. So, man ahabbu an-nasi ilallah. Ya Rasulullah, who is the most beloved person to Allah? He said, ahsanuhum akhlaqa. The man with the best character is the most beloved to Allah. Not just to Allah, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna min ahabbikum ilayya wa aqrabikum minni majlisa. He said, of all of you, he is most beloved to me, and not just most beloved to me, will be closest to me on the day of judgment. The person with the best akhlaq and character. And because the crunch test of akhlaq and character is your house, in other words, the one who will treat his wife the best will be the closest to Allah and the closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the light of all these ahadith. So very, very important for us, those of us who are engaged in the work of da'wat and tabligh, to understand. Our elders say our tabligh has to enter our homes. Tabligh is not only for the outside. We have to bring our tabligh in our homes. And the most important and integral relationship is this relationship of nikah. That is why if you look at Quran also, how important is the right of the parents. It's just few verses in the Quran deal with it. Brothers, sisters, other relationships, you find few verses. But when it comes to nikah, Surah Baqarah, Surah Nisa, Surah Ma'idah, Surah Al-Imran, Surah Nur, interspersed throughout Quran are literally hundreds of verses of the Quran. Where Allah Ta'ala is giving us directive as to how to make your home. Ulama say so much of emphasis on this aspect. Because they say other relationships, whether it's your brother, whether it's your mother, whether it's your father, they say no matter how upset you become, that relationship is going to stay the same. It's not that that relationship can break. If you stop talking to your brother, he's still your brother. The relationship doesn't break. But this nikah is one relationship, on one word it can break. So how to preserve this relationship? And this is such an important relationship that the very procreation of human beings depends on it. The next generation is dependent on this. So this is an integral relationship. This is why so much of our shit. Nabi said, إِذَا تَزُوَّجَ الْأَبْدُ فَقَدِ اسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الدِّينِ. He said, half your religion is nikah. So this is such an integral and important relationship. And the whole aspect of nikah, we can see the isharas and noises of Abdullah makes in this kitab, is dependent on akhlaq, akhlaq, akhlaq. And the sad reality, my respected brothers, that when it comes to our 6 points also, mashallah, shandar first point, little bit on the second point, khushu and khuzu in namaz, then we skip the rest and we go on to the sixth point. The whole fourth point, you will become a beautiful da'i. You will become a beautiful representative of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your entire effort of da'wat and tabligh will get jaan and life depending on akhlaq and character, because the pinnacle of iman is akhlaq and character. And homes are made through akhlaq. Homes are not made through furniture and through having a lot of wealth and through luxuries and comforts in the home. Home is made through akhlaq and character. Today the homes are on fire. Today there's problems wherever we look. Why? Because that akhlaq and character. If you look at Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this issue of where they say ta'addud azwaj, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had many wives. Obviously the enemies of Islam, they try and portray things in a different way to try to erode the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the main first marriage was to Khadija radiallahu anha. He was 25 at that time. Khadija radiallahu anha was 40 years of age. And not only 40 years of age, she had been through two marriages before that. Widowed twice. Abu Hala, from whom she had one son and one daughter. Ibn Abid, from whom she had one son. And one broken engagement, Waraqa bin Nawfal. Our mindset is that for some reason, if some girl's engagement breaks, then there's like some slur on her. There's something wrong with her. We have that kind of mindset. Yet Khadija radiallahu anha had been through one broken engagement and she had been widowed twice. 40 years of age, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the prime of his youth, 25. So if there was any issue of passion and so on behind this, the facts don't line up. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained in marriage with Khadija till she passed away radiallahu anha, till the age of 50. From 25 till 50, the prime of his life, married to Khadija radiallahu anha. And thereafter were the other wives. And if you look at those other relationships also, mafhum of one riwayat, ma tazawwajtu wa ma zawwajtu illa biwahyin min as-sama'i nazala bihi Jibril. He said, I did not take any partner, nor did I get any of my daughters married anywhere except through wahi and revelation which Jibril brought down. So this ta'addud azwaj, this several marriages of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wallah, my respected brothers, was to show the ummah practically how a home is made. And if you look at the different Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look practically, Allah through his Nabi showed us. Some of the wives were widowed before. Some were mutallaqa, had been divorced before. Aisha radiallahu anha, obviously she hadn't been in any other relationship. She was a virgin. Like that, if you look, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam married young, he married older than himself, he married within his tribe or people, he married outside. Safiya radiallahu anha was from the Jews. So different situations Allah created through his Nabi to show the ummah practically how the home is to be made. And there's one ajeeb expression in the Quran. Time is limited, but Quran is bahrun la sahila lahu. Quran is a limitless ocean. When it comes to this relationship of nikah, there's one ajeeb verse in the Quran where Allah says, hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. Now the word libas in Arabic, if you translate it, you call it clothing or garment. So Allah is saying, your wife is a garment for you and you are a garment for her. Now ulama say, if you ponder just over this one expression, libas, what is the khususiyat? What is the characteristics of one's clothing? Why has Allah equated your partner with your clothing? Several reasons they give. They say, one, between you and your clothing, there is nothing. Touching your skin directly is your clothing. Between you and your clothing, there is nothing. So they say, do not allow anybody else from the outside to come between you and your wife. There will always be those that will try and interfere. Shaitan also will make his effort. Sometimes one's own mother, sometimes one's own father, one's brothers, one's sister, one's relatives, friends, all types of people will try and come between you and your wife. Like between you and your clothing there is nothing, do not allow outside interferences to come between you and your wife. Another analogy ulama give, hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. They say the closest thing to you is your clothing. So develop your relationship with your wife in such a manner that she is the closest thing to you and you become the closest thing to her. Another analogy ulama ikram give, they say we have cupboards and we have special places to put our clothing. We preserve our clothing. People don't even like a crease to come on their clothing. Even a little child, if you little notice little children, especially young girls, they'll fold the clothing, make sure it's put properly, even at that age. In other words, every attempt is made to preserve that clothing and not to allow any crease or any negativity to come on it. So you with your wife and wife with you, make every attempt to protect the reputation and the dignity of one another. Don't let anyone else from the outside cast a slur or a negative insult towards your wife. Like you will protect your clothing. Sometimes when the road is muddy, a person, what he'll do? He'll walk in such a way that he'll allow his feet to get muddied, but he won't allow his clothing to get mud. Allah has made the human being like that. Fitrat is like that. So they say in the same way, halat, nagawariya, challenges will come in life, problems will come. There'll be ups and downs. The mud and the negativity that arises because of those challenges of life or in the day-to-day up and down of life, take it on yourself, protect your wife from it. Don't let it go onto her. Mufassirin say, Al-Qur'an yufassiru ba'duha ba'da. They say the Qur'an is such that if you want the tafsir of Qur'an, the first source of commentary of the Qur'an is Qur'an itself. So when Allah says, Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun, this word libas, where else does it come in the Qur'an? So in Surah Araf, Allah says, Ya Bani Adam, qad anzalna alaykum libase yuwari sawatikum warisha. Allah says, we have anzalna, we have sent down upon you libas, clothing. And there's two qualities of clothing or two benefits of clothing that Allah mentions in the Quran. One is yuwari sawatikum. Yuwari sawatikum, clothing serves to conceal your private parts. So clothing is a concealment. So hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. Each one of you protect and become a curtain of concealment over the other. Don't let the world come to know the faults of your wife or her weaknesses or her deficiencies. Cover. Yuwari su'atikum. Cover. Hunna libas. Become a clothing, become a cover. Cover what is ugly and cover what is weak and cover what is deficient. And second, beautiful objective of clothing Allah gives us. Warisha. قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسَ يُوَارِي سُوَاتِكُمْ وَرِيشَ. What is clothing? Allah says clothing is a form of beauty for you. So make that effort in your marriage that you beautify the relationship. And your relationships are beautified how? Through akhlaq, through character, through love. And we see such a resplendent example in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amongst the Arabs, when women used to go through menstrual periods, this was the thinking of ignorance, jahalat, jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance. They used to have this mindset that if a woman is in menstrual period, then she's somehow or the other filthy. So they would disassociate themselves from their wives during that period. Islam obviously came to eradicate all these acts of ignorance. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, Kuntu hayidan. I would be in the state of haze, menstrual period. And I would be eating a piece of meat. She says, the section of the bone where I chewed from, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take it from me and he would show me whilst I'm in the state of haze that he is placing his teeth on the same spot from where I chew. These type of loving gestures is ibadat. This is darbari risalat. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنُ فَانْتَهُوا. Allah commands you what you get from the Rasul, follow that. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. For you in the Rasul of Allah is the most beautiful example. She says, I would be drinking from a container. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would take that container and he would show me as a gesture of his affection and love for me. He would place his Mubarak lips on the same spot where I had placed my lips. At times he would take a morsel of food and place it in the mouth of his wife. And he would say, to do this is sadaqah. Allah will reward you with the reward of sadaqah. One alim says that there was one friend of his was telling him that, you know what, Maulana, my life is a misery. Me and my wife are fighting all the time. I dread even going home because they'll be barking at each other, arguing all the time. So he said, have you ever taken a morsel of food and placed it in your wife's mouth? He said, no. So he said, go and do that. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is sadaqah. So he says, the next day, And Alim says, next day I phoned this person and asked him, did you do what I told you to do? So he says, no. Why? He says, mujhe sharam aate. It embarrasses me to do something like that. So he says, to bark and scream at your wife is not embarrassing you. To put a morsel of food in her mouth is embarrassing you. Go and do it now. I'm phoning you in half an hour to check whether you did it. So obviously he was compelled, didn't have a choice. So half an hour later when he phoned him, he said, what happened? Did you do it? He said, yes. What happened? So he said, first my wife's mouth stayed open out of shock. She never expected me to ever do anything like that. And then she asked me, who told you to do this? Because you couldn't have done this on your own. So he said, no, so and so, Alim told me. So she said, spend more time in this company. Yet, this is direct sunnah. Jihad, suffer of jihad. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on jihad. Returning, he told Sahaba to go ahead till he and Aisha radiallahu anha were alone. The Jamaat had gone ahead. And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to Aisha, will you race with me? So husband and wife are racing in the desert. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates this. She says, that race I won. Few years later, again, suffer of jihad, we were returning. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Sahaba to go ahead till he was alone. So he told Aisha, will you race with me? He said, this time we raced. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I picked up a bit of weight. So this time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam beat me in the race. So he said, Hadihi bitilka sabaqa. Aisha, we are equal now. Last time you beat me, this time I beat you. Now who is this? The bodge and responsibility of the hidayat, the jannat and jahannam of every human being to come till qiyamah had been placed on the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yet, these gestures of affection, his maqam, his status, wallah, this is just to make his wife happy. The one riwayat that comes, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his maradul wafat when he was ill, he said to Aisha, innahu layuhawwinu alayya anni urituki zawjati fil jannah. He said, Aisha, the sickness and my imminent death has been made easy for me that Allah has showed me that you will be my wife in Jannah. This was the type of ta'aleem that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us, that this is how homes are made. Maymuna radiallahu anha, one night Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets up to go relieve himself. Maymuna, the thought comes in the heart that he's gone to one of the other wives during her turn. So she gets upset. She locks the door. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam returns, innocent, he went to relieve himself. The door is locked. Now imagine the embarrassment. This is the greatest of Allah's creation. Wife has locked him out. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam pleads with her and says to her that inni haqinun, I went to relieve myself. Still she's not listening. Then the thought comes in the heart that this is a Nabi of Allah, he won't make khiyanat. Realizing her mistake, she opens the door. If it was you and I, what would have been? Completely innocent, what would have been? It would have been qiyamat. Yet, smilingly enters, not one word of complaint. Agar kisi ke dil ko jeet lena, if you want to win over the hearts of people, it is this akhlaq and character. And the crunch test is your house. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. Allah says, libas is for risha, is for beauty. And beauty and love and affection comes through akhlaq and character. Another point ulama take, and like this, many more points you can take out. This is one expression. They say no matter how angry you become, and no matter how upset you become, no one will tear his clothes. Somebody starts tearing his clothes, they'll say he's lost his marbles, gone mad. So no matter how angry and how upset you become, never ever strike at your partner. Never injure your partner, never become a source of hurt to that partner. Like you won't tear your clothes, they are your clothes. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. And like this, many, many other points we can take, but obviously we have to read from the kitab also. Ulama say the whole psychology of marriage is contained just in this one expression of Quran. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. In any case, as I mentioned, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, under the chapter of akhlaq and character, he brings incidents from the nikahs of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba Ikram. أخرج أبو نعيم في الحلية عن أبي عبد الرحمن السلمي عن سلمان رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه تزوج امرأة من كندا فبنى بها في بيتها. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala who got married to a woman from the Kinda tribe. This word bana biha means what we call shabes zufaf, or the night when one consummates one's marriage. So the first night, what we now, our terminology will say first night. So the first night he was going to spend in her home. Falamma كان ليلة البناء مشى معه أصحابه حتى أتى بيت إمرأتي. We've run out of time, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, just basic translation of the incident. That inshallah in itself would suffice for our current majlis. فلما كان ليلة البناء مشى معه أصحابه حتى أتى بيت إمرأتي. When the night of to consummate the marriage had come, his friends accompanied him until he came to the home of his wife. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ الْبَيْتِ When he reached the home, قَالَ He said, اِرْجِعُوا آجَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُدْخِلْهُمْ عَلَيْهَا كَمَا فَعَلَ السُّفَهَا Respectfully he turned to his friends and he said, Please return. May Allah reward you. And he did not allow them to enter the house like فَعَلَ السُّفَهَا Like the foolish people do. You know this culture that, you know, you my friend, this my wife, introduce, shake hands with each other. Or if you don't introduce and they don't shake hands, then they say you've insulted me or you slighted me. Tirmizi Sharif Hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, La an yut'ana fi ra'si ahadikum bi mikhyatin min hadid khayrun lahu min an yamussa imratin la tahillu lahu. He said, it is better that a nail be taken and hammered into your head than you touching which Allah has made haram for you. There are barriers that Allah has erected, Allah and His Rasul has erected segregational barriers between men and women. In this current society we are living in under the name of Islam being a contemporary religion and gender equality and all sorts of fancy titles, there is this concerted drive to break down these barriers. Once these barriers break down, nothing will remain. There will be no difference between us and animals. So this friends meeting your wife and friends coming in the home, and then after that we cry when the problems are created. For our own protection, Allah and His Rasul have given us these limitations and these barriers. She is your wife, not your friend's wife. So Salman radiallahu ta'ala respectfully asked his friends to return. Fanamma nadhara ila al-bayt wal-baytu munajjadun. Then he looked at the house, and what happened? The house had a lot of draperies. In other words, curtain, excess cloth was hung all over. Like nowadays you see in some of the weddings in the halls, you'll find all these sheets hanging throughout, like they want to drape the hall. When we see this type of thing, we should keep this riwayat in front of us. Because when Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu saw this, he asked them, "Amahmumun baytukum? Does this house have a fever? Am tahawwalatil Kaaba fi Kinda? Or has the Kaaba shifted to Kinda? Because the Kaaba has a cloth around it. So you people put all this cloth because this house suffers from a fever, or has the Kaaba come here?" So they said, Ma baytuna bi mahmum. They said, our house doesn't have a fever. Wala tahawwalatil ka'batu fi kinda. Nor has the Kaaba moved to kinda. Falam yadkhulil bayt hatta nuzi'a kullu sitrin fil bayt ghayra sitril bab. So he did not enter the house until all that excess cloth had been removed, besides the one that was hanging over the door, the curtain. Falamma dakhala ra'a mata'an kathira. When he entered, now he sees a lot of mata'an kathira, a lot of worldly things. In other words, in this context, probably wedding gifts. Now, wedding gifts nowadays, mashallah, has become farz. Wedding can't happen without that. But if you look at the history of it, all this idea of these wedding gifts, where do we get it from? We're not getting it from Islam, we're getting it from exposure to other cultures. And today, unfortunately, we've given it not only an Islamic flavor, we've made it compulsory. One thing we have to understand, when it comes to this issue of nikah and barakat, the formula Allah and His Rasul have given us is, Nabi said, the less expensive and the easier, the more barakat. The more expensive and the more difficult, the less barakat. There are certain avenues where Islam encourages you to spend. Nikah is not one of those avenues. Ulama say the more expensive and the more difficult we make nikah, the more zina will be found in the ummah. The more expensive and the more difficult we make nikah, the more zina will be found in the ummah. I remember a few years ago, digressing, I wasn't supposed to go into much detail, as Ibrahim Devla Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Namin Daun Barakatu, in one of his bayans, he said an ajeeb thing. He said, if you want to know what is sunnah and deen, there will always be two qualities in it. And what is batil will always have two qualities in it. Never mind what title you put on it, or what color you want to give it. If it's sunnah and deen, there'll be two things in it. And if it's batil, there'll be two things in it. Sunnah and deen, what are the two qualities you will always find in it? One, he said, is haya, shame, modesty. And the second, sadgi, simplicity. Anything that is linked to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Shariat and Deen will always have these two things. Modesty and simplicity. And anything linked to Batil will always have Behayai, shamelessness and extravagance. Even if you look at this incident. Came to the door, told his friends, please return. In other words, Haya. Entered the house, saw the embroidery, said, remove it. Sadgi, simplicity. Now he enters, he sees all the extra gifts. What is his reaction? He says, Liman hadal mata'at. Who does all this belong to? Qalu, they said, mata'uka wa mata'u imra'atik. It belongs to you and your wife. What was the immediate reaction of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu? Qala ma bihada osani khalili sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Osani khalili alla yakuna mata'i min ad-dunya illa kazadir raqib. He said, this is not what my close friend, my khalil, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised me. My khalil advised me that I should only possess of this world what a traveler needs. Excess possessions, my khalil did not advise me about that. So in other words, sadgi, simplicity. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam advocated simplicity. ثم قال لن I'm cutting it short because time is running out. ثم قال للنسوة اللاتي عند امراته هل انتن مخرجات عني مخليات بيني وبين امراتي. When he entered the house, there were some what we call saheli, friends of his wife with her. So respectfully, Salman Farsi addressed them and he said that, can I please implore you to leave and give me some seclusion with my wife. قُلْنَا نَعَمْ, they said yes. فَخَرَجْنَا, and they left. فَذَهَبَ إِلَى الْبَابْ حَتَّى أَجَافَهُ, he went to the door until he closed it. وَأَرْخَ السِّتَرَ, and he hung the curtain over the door. ثُمَّ جَاءَ حَتَّى جَلَسَ عِنْدَ إِمْرَأَتِهِ, then he came and he sat next to his wife. فَمَسَحَ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا, took her forelock. وَدَعَى بِالْبَرَكَةِ, and made dua for barakat. فَقَالَ لَهَا. This next sentence in this incident is worthy of writing in gold if we had some munasabat with Arabic. What we should do is contextualize this. This is Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu sitting in seclusion with his new wife the first time. Sahaba were mujahid, they were on the battlefield. These were what Quran referred to as rijal men. Today, mashallah, our concept of man is what? Authoritarian rule in the home. Unfortunately, we have both extremes. Either he is authoritarian rule or he lost the ijar completely. You know, they say that I am the boss in my house and I have my wife's permission to say so. In other words, both extremes. Islam teaches the middle road. Salman Farsi is in seclusion with his wife for the first time. If you understood Arabic, look at the... He wants to suggest to her something. Something that is Shariat, Deen. But look at the manner in which he addresses her. He says, Hal is the lightest word you can get in Arabic. There's nothing lighter than that. Hal. Anti muti'ati fi shay'in amuruki bihi. It's very difficult to do justice to translate the nuance of this. But the closest we can get is that, is it possible that you would consider accepting a suggestion that I have for you? Not, this is the law and you must follow it. Is it possible that you would consider accepting a suggestion that I have for you? What is her response when she hears this? This is akhlaq. What is her response? She says, Jalasta majlisa may yuta. She says, you are sitting in a position where all you have to do is command me. You are my husband. Despite this response, what does he say? Fa'inna khalili, said my close friend sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Osani, advise me. Idhajtama'tu ila ahli, that when I get together with my wife, that I should make the foundation of that getting together the obedience of Allah. Doesn't dictate with muhabbat, with love. He makes her zehen up. And what is it? In the commentary, Mawlana Imam Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, is based on another riwayat, that thereafter he was suggesting to her that he is going to make 2 rakat salah and that she should follow him. So husband and wife made 2 rakat salah. Thereafter he made dua and she said ameen to the dua. In other words, dua for barakah and blessings in that union. ثم خرجا فقضى منها ما يقضي الرجال من امرأة ما يقضي الرجل من امرأتي. Thereafter they consummated or carried out what normally a man would do with his wife. فلما أصبح, the next day, غدا عليه أصحابه, his friends came to him. فقالوا, and they said, كيف وجدت أهلك, how was it? You know, like, how was the first night? Or how was your wife? You know, like, nowadays that type of conversation takes place. So they also asked him a question like that. فأعرض عنهم, he ignored them. ثم عادوا, they repeated the question. فأعرض عنهم, he ignored them a second time. ثم عادوا, then they repeated the question. فأعرض عنهم, he ignored them the third time. ثم قال, then he said, إنما جعل الله تعالى السطور والخدور والأبواب. Allah has created curtains, barriers and doors. Why? لِتُوَارِيَ مَا فِيَا, so that it keeps, conceals what happens behind the door. حَسْبُ مْرِئِمْ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْعَلَ أَمَّا ظَهَرَ لَهُ. Confine your questions to what is apparent and public. Don't go behind what is concealed and secret. Don't enter the home of a husband and wife. Don't poke your nose in what is private. That is the crux of what he's saying. And then he went on to say, فَأَمَّا مَا غَابَ عَنْهُ فَلَا يَسَلَنَّ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. What is not apparent, what is inside the house, don't even ask about that. In other words, don't interfere in anybody else's relationship. And then he went on to say, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ الْمُتَحَدِّثْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. The one who will reveal the secrets of his relationship with his wife, or the one who will speak about what goes on inside his home. Make public what should be private. Rasulullah said, the one who does that, كَالْحِمَارَيْنِ يَتَسَافَدَانِ فِي الطَّرِيقِ. His example is like 2 donkeys that are mating in public. So to that extent, such a severe warning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to what today unfortunately has become the norm. And this is why so many problems are created, because our lives are not guided by the beacon of light that the seerah and the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam represents. And this is why our elders encourage us, make ta'lim at home. Read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Learn. Today we say, the boy's got his degree, so he's ready to get married. Girl, the jewelry is ready, she's ready to get married. Have we given them the degree or the jewelry of akhlaq and character? If we haven't, from the first day the fires will burn. Tolerance, patience, holding one's tongue in the face of aggression, appreciation, simple thing like smiling. These jewels that we learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, akhlaq, character, tabligh, and our work also revolves around its beautification, its advancement, revolves around this, that we develop our akhlaq and our character. Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah.